Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
It's 15 more minutes left in the morning. And are you guys hot? Do we need to turn the fans on? Is it time to do that yet? It was kind of cool in here this morning, so we kind of let that play itself out. But you know, it's supposed to be in the 80s today, so... But as I was contemplating on what to minister this today, the Lord gave me a word, and I kind of struggled. I said, well, Lord, I don't know if I want to really talk about that. So I said, can I put that on the back shelf? You know, because a lot of times God gives me messages that are not necessarily for today, this week. So I have a list of things that I want to preach, but this one just kept coming back. So I said, all right, Lord, I'll do it. So we're going to go to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verses 20 through the end there. We're going to stay there. We're not going to go to any other scripture. So it's 20 through 26. So it's a small block, but the subject is becoming one with the Lord. Everybody say, becoming one with the Lord. And this is, well, let me pray and then we'll get into the message. It's probably going to be short today, y'all. but anyway, Father, we thank you for the word, because it's through it where it's a light unto our path, a lamp unto our feet. And we know that the living word is the light of the world, and he also gave us to be that light. So, Lord, I pray as I minister that the light of the Lord Jesus Christ comes through and shines and reveals to us the truth, so that we can know the truth and be set free by it. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, and everyone said, amen. So let's read this, and then I'm going to pull out six things that the Lord mentions in this section of scripture that shows us how to be one with him. Amen. So verse 20 says, I do not pray for them. By the way, let me give you a little bit of background. This is what's commonly referred to in the interpretation of the scripture section as the high priestly prayer of Jesus. This is right after the Passover. This is right after a lot of things are getting ready to take place right after this. He gets betrayed and arrested. Actually, it's right before the Passover. But he is praying for his believers as he's preparing to leave. And so this is the last portion of that prayer. And so let's get into that. It says, Lord, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one, in I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, The world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known you, known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. Now you might say, wow, that sounds so wonderful. And it is a wonderful prayer. It's as you can see, when you look at that prayer, we're in that prayer. Amen? Everybody say, we're in that prayer. Come on, talk, say it like you mean it. We're in that prayer. And you might say, well, what do you mean, Pastor? The first passage, he says, I don't pray for these alone, talking about the 12, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. So we're the ones who believe in God through his word, through the words of the apostles. So he's praying for us. So let me give you the six things I see in there that helps us to become one with the Lord. The first thing is an obvious one, is believing in his word. Everybody say, believe in his word. See, the word is the thing that gets us to the place where we become one with God. That's the gateway, if you will. It's the door that shows us the light, and then we can walk through the tunnel that has been dark in our lives. I was watching a movie yesterday, and they were in a tunnel, and they were trying to figure out how to get out of the tunnel, and there was no light in the tunnel, and they had to light a candle because it was a cowboy movie. And as they walked through the tunnel and they could see where they were going, they discovered that there was an exit on the other side. And that's the way God's word is to us. In our sin, we don't know the right way. We don't know the direction. But it's through his word that we find the direction that we need to get us out of the tunnels that we've dug ourselves in. Amen? And I won't go any further than that. So the first thing that we need to become one with God is his believing his word. The second thing is allowing him to dwell in us. The reason why the world struggles, and when I say the world, I'm talking about the outside, not the body of Christ, but they struggle with Jesus because he's not dwelling within them. Everybody, a lot of people like what Jesus says. Amen? I mean, can you agree with that? They think Jesus is a wonderful teacher. He's a wonderful man. He said some wonderful things. But they won't allow him to dwell in them. They won't go the next step. Part of it is because they don't understand the indwelling power of God. But more than anything, they're afraid to allow God to come and dwell in them. And why is that? Well, because their lives don't measure up, they don't think. But Jesus comes to fix your life, not to judge your life. Amen? So the indwelling of the Holy of God, or God the Father and God the Son, notice in this prayer, Jesus says that we will dwell in them. Amen? And of course, just the chapter before that, he says the Holy Spirit will come and dwell in them and lead us and guide us into all truth. So this is the Godhead coming to dwell in the people that invite him in. So that's the second thing, allowing him to dwell in us. The third point is that we would come to know him. Everybody say, know him. Now the word know is used a lot of ways in the Bible. Even in sexual encounters, the Bible uses the word know. When Adam and Eve were created, the Bible says, and Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived. So knowing God tells us, or the word, using that word know, is an intimate word. It's not just head knowledge. It's not just intellectual understanding, but it's internally knowing or experiencing the presence and the reality of God in our lives. And as we desire to become one with the Lord, we begin to interact with him in a more intimate way than just the surface. Amen? He calls us to a place that is beyond just surface stuff. Unfortunately, the church, when we have to be very careful that we don't just settle for songs, sermons, and Sunday service and think that that is going to help us to know who God is. Now, don't get me wrong, all that stuff is necessary, but when you want to become one with someone, it's got to go deeper than just the everyday. Amen? I mean, the Bible talks about, and I'm going to digress a little bit, about David. And God said, what did God say about David? He was a man after my own heart. So what does that tell us about David? That means David went beyond the natural, the normal. He was a different kind of guy, if you will. And God said that he wanted a kingdom of what? Priests and kings. Priests obviously have to do with worship, but kings have to do with rule. And David was a representative of a priest and a king. Even though he didn't carry the mantle of a priest, David acted as a priest with his relationship with God, with his worship. We all know that David wrote many of the Psalms, but this is the kind of knowing that we need to know of God if we want to become one with him. Amen? Going deeper, deeper than just surface knowledge. The next thing is that Jesus said that we would know Jesus was sent by God as an indication that we're working on becoming one with him. See, the world is not sure where Jesus came from. They're willing to acknowledge that he may have been a prophet. They're willing to acknowledge that he may have been a good teacher. But Jesus said, the Father sent me to do what I'm doing here on this earth. He says, I don't do anything except what the Father shows me. Amen? Everything Jesus did was about his relationship with God. And he was trying to teach the disciples that because he was sent, he has a special walk. And you too can have that same walk as you acknowledge where I came from. One of the disputes between the Pharisees and Jesus is they say, well, we don't know where you came from. Remember they say that? And actually they said that to the blind man who he healed. He says, we know where Moses came from, but we don't know where this man came from. And then he says, now that's amazing. He says, you don't know where he come from, and yet he opened my eyes. And then he proceeds to tell him about God doesn't hear a sinner, but those that he sins, he hears. And then they got mad at him for trying to show them the light. So understanding that God sent Jesus is a big part of becoming one with him. The next thing is that as we desire to come one, we have to, that his love may dwell in us. Say, let the love of God, say it together, let the love of God dwell in us. The Bible says it like this, that the love of God that was shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, let it richly dwell in us. Well, what does it mean to allow the love of God to dwell in us? Well, it means that we're moved by the same things that Jesus is moved by. The Bible talks about he was moved with compassion. He was groaned when he went to see Lazarus. When he was about to go through Gethsemane, he said, "My heart is exceeding grieved unto death." That's when you know the love of God dwells in you, because the Spirit of God moves you deeper than just your emotional level. See, emotions, we know emotional moving, but when you start to allow the Spirit of God, the love of God to dwell in you, there is a move in you that is beyond just emotion. I don't know if you guys know what I mean by that, but God gives you an unction, as the old King James says, that's beyond just your understanding. Sometimes he can just reveal something to you by just a move of your heart, because your heart and his heart are working together. And as he moves you like that, it's not an emotion. It's funny, because all the emotions follow that. If you've ever had this experience. But it's a deep inner moving or stirring, if you will, that God just kind of causes to jump within you. And sometimes that leads you to pray. Sometimes that he's telling you that something is about to happen. For me, a lot of times when I'm getting ready to go to court on a case, I've learned to recognize that he tells me what's going to happen before it's going to happen. And sometimes I say, "No, Lord, not that. Don't let that happen, please." So I start praying, "Lord, turn that one around." But it's not an emotion. But the emotion follows it. My response is emotional. And this is the thing about emotions. Emotions are really response mechanisms. They're not indicators. Did you guys know that? Emotions are a response to something that you have been exposed to. They're not a direction mechanism. In other words, we're not supposed to be led by our emotions. Emotions actually follow what we would refer to as stimuli. But the Holy Spirit, because he knows everything, quickens you and alivens you, or makes you alive, if you will, to a certain area, and then he helps you understand. But that all comes from the love that dwells within us. Amen?
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
And then this one is the one that really, as I was going through this passage, that really, really stuck out with me. And I'm going to actually go back and read it. So let's go back to the same chapter. Chapter 17, verse 22. And let's read this again. It says, "And the glory which you gave me, I have given them." And I had never seen that before. And as many times as I read this, God has given us glory. Now think about that. What is the glory of God? Anybody venture to? The glory of God is his presence, his honor, his magnificence, his aura, if you will. And I've been reading a new translation this year. We're reading I think it's called the Young's Literal Translation. And most of the places where we see the glory or the Shekinah glory of God, they translate the word honor. And so God is saying, if we want to become one with him, the honor or the glory that he has to be present in our lives. Now think about that. The only time we really get a glimpse of the glory falling on somebody other than God and Jesus is where? Moses. And because Moses spent so much time in the presence of God that he came down and he didn't even know that he was shining. The people like, whoa, Moses, your face is on fire. But he had received what Jesus said you needed in order to become one. And that is the glory. Now, what does that mean that for us to have glory? That means that in the earth, when we're doing all these things, when all these things are present, when the love of God is in us, when his presence is living in us, when we're believing in his word, when we know that Jesus has sent us, there is a respect, an honor, and an aura about us as his people that has to be respected. And that's why when we're in right standing with God, there is a presence about his people. Amen? I mean, just think about it. We can change. We have changed. I shouldn't say we can't. We have changed places by just being present in that place. We can change neighborhoods by seeking and asking God to pour out his spirit upon the people in that community. We can change our households by keeping our minds stayed on him and allowing ourselves to remain in perfect peace. See, the things that go on in life are trying to get us off the point of peace. Get us off the point of peace into the point of anxiety and fear. But he says, as you become one with me, then the glory that I receive, that I also have given unto you, will be a part of who you are. Now think about it now, and I'm getting ready to close, but think about this. When the church understands these, and these aren't so hard you can't understand it, but if you just see, and most of them we've embraced, the indwelling of God's presence, we've embraced that. We've embraced that we believe the word. We have to believe the word. There's some people that believe to a greater extent to others, but we know that you have to believe the word in order to accept Christ. We know that in order to have intimacy, we have to know or understand beyond just intellect, but receive revelation about him. But what we always sometimes forget is that God has exalted the church into a position that only he and his son occupy. I mean, think about it. He says, the glory that you gave to me, talking to his father, I now give to them. Do you see how he has exalted the people of God to such a high position? In the Bible, that's why the Bible says that we seated with Christ in heavenly places. We're no longer just natural, normal, everyday people, but we're now walking in the presence of God, becoming one with him. The Bible says that the goal of the scriptures is to change us into the image of his son. And this is all a part of being changed into his image. It's not just praise and worship. Because again, all those things are outward expressions of what should be in our hearts. Amen? But to have the presence, the glory of God dwell upon us and in us and with us is such a such an awe-inspiring thought to understand that this is how God has made us one with him. So we have to be aware of these things. This is six simple things to be aware of, that God is making us one with him. And I'll say them again. One, believe the word. Two, allow him to dwell in us. Three, that we would know him. Four, that we would know that God sent Jesus. Five, that we his love may dwell in us, and that his glory would dwell in us. That's simplicity of becoming one. So I want us to meditate on these six things and allow them and ask God, the Lord, say, Lord, let this be a part of who you have made me to be. Let this be a part of what you've called me into. And Lord, let me not be satisfied with just surface stuff, but let me go deeper. Let me be a person after your own heart. And the thing about that, the thing about David that's so amazing, that God had that testimony about him, that David had no idea who the Holy Spirit was. He had no idea about the indwelling power or presence of God. Did you guys know that? He didn't know anything about that. But he did know that he loved God and that he was going beyond just the surface, and he wanted to go. I mean, when Saul needed somebody to play, guess who they called? David. So let us be those people that the presence is so thick that the oneness can be seen in us. And see, this is the thing. And as we surrender to this, then the church can recognize itself and become united. The reason why the church is divided is because too many of us are surface Christians. We're just, look, I'm glad to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven more than anything else. I want to go to heaven. But I also want to be transformed. I don't just want to go to heaven struggling, getting beat up on the way there. You guys ever have a bully encounter? How many had bully encounters in school? Or I mean, it's the worst thing until you finally stand up to the bully. You're running home, running away from the bully, trying to hide at recess. Don't want to see the person. You know, I only had sisters, so I was the big brother. So, and some of my sisters could fight, especially Diane, mostly with her mouth. But she'd tear you down in a minute. But they were all at a different school. But finally, when I stood up to the bully, I was free. And that's what we need to do with the devil in our lives. Don't allow the devil to just bully us through our life and then say, oh God, I'm so glad to be in heaven. I finally got rid of that. No, that's not the way we need to go. He needs to look at us and see the glory that God gave unto us. Not that we become God. Don't get that twisted. Don't get confused. But he sees us just like the seven sons of Sceva when they were trying to cast out a devil. And they said, he said, look, Paul, I know. That's how we should be. Harold, I know. Hannah, I know. Darshin, I know. But who are you? We need to be known by the enemy so that he doesn't mess with us. We are the bullies, if you will, in the spiritual realm. He has to get out. He can't live here anymore. And this is what Jesus is trying. And without even talking about Satan, he's trying to get us to see the greatness that he has put in us so that we don't have to struggle with these little things that the enemy brings our way. Temptation is not a big thing when you understand that his presence dwells on you. Amen? You're not worried about thrills, fleshly thrills, when God has come in and just fills your heart with his glory. So I'm going to close now. I really am. So let's stand. I just want to pray this prayer and then we're going to go home. And I know all of us have accepted Christ that are here today. But I want us to just pray this prayer. I want to say, Lord, everybody say it with me. Lord, cause your presence to emanate out of my life so that when people see me, they see you. I really ask you to do that in my life, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Father, you said that you gave us power over all the power of the enemy. So, Lord, there's nothing that we need to be afraid of. There's nothing that we should not be able to overcome. So, Lord, so all sickness, all disease, all problems, all hang-ups, all hookups, all problems that the enemy tries to use to keep us ensnared and entangled, we break them right now. And we command every person under the sound of my voice to be set free. No chain no longer can hold us down. We have now been set free by the power of your word, which says that you dwell in us and that your presence and your glory dwell in us. And there's nothing that can separate us from your love. And so, Lord, I thank you for this time. I pray that you would cause this word to resonate in our spirit. Don't let it go away. Let it not be just, oh, yeah, that was a great message. But, Lord, resonate the revelatory truth about what we just read. And just these six verses, Lord, let us meditate on it as you told Joshua to do so that it can be a part of our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you. And everyone said, amen, amen. So, we're dismissed. Enjoy your snacks.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon. And we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.